Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. Today we're going to talk about who owns your car. Who owns your car? I wouldn't have thought this was that tricky of a question, but I've gotten quite a few people who've asked me this. In fact, I got in an argument with somebody this morning by email because somebody said to me, Steve, you don't own your car. You do not own your car. And I said, I'm reasonably certain I do. But he said, well, let me explain it to you. And he said, when the government makes you get a title for the car, a certificate of title, and then you send them the information and they title the car, you're giving the car to them. And I said, that's absurd. And he said, well, no, I've spoken to people, including a federal judge who told me that that's the case. So you do not own your car. So as crazy as this sounds, I do think that this illustrates something many people do not understand. And that is, how do you prove you own anything? How do you prove you own anything? Okay. And you know, the point is that if, you know, you buy a vehicle like I did, and you pay for it with there's no lien holder on it, and it's titled solely to me, I own that car. There's no question I own that car. But for some odd reason, like I said, this is a topic that comes up more often than I think it ought to, but I think it's because there's a misunderstanding about what it means to own something and how you prove you own something, okay? And that really is the issue here. How do you prove you own something? So I'm gonna do something that you might do in a law school class. So those of you who are thinking about law school or are curious about it, I've taught law school. But one of the things that we do is possibly walk through a series of hypotheticals and ask ourselves what this teaches us. So here's the question. First of all, what does it mean to own something? What does it mean to own something? And generally speaking, if I own something, it's mine. I have the right to use it as I see fit, as long as I'm not breaking the law by doing so. And I have the right to let someone else use it if I want to let them use it, but that's up to me, okay? So the best example I can give you is the shirt I'm wearing right now. Okay, the shirt I'm wearing right now, in case you're curious, by the way, it's a Shepard Fairey symbol on the front. There's a big one on the back. I'm a big fan of Shepard Fairey. But the shirt I'm wearing right now, if you walked into this room and said, Steve, who owns that shirt? I would say, I own this shirt. Now, here's the problem. Someone else could come into the room right now and say, Steve, you say you own that shirt, but I think I own that shirt. Now, here's the interesting thing. There's no title for this shirt. There's no document, like a UCC registration statement filed in Lansing indicating my ownership of this shirt. So how do we know I own it? I say I own it, but there's a competing claim from this other guy who says he owns it. Okay, let's suppose that you're Solomon here and this shirt is the baby. Somebody says, who do we give the shirt to? Well, I'm sure you've all heard the saying, possession is 9/10 of the law. And that's actually not a legal maxim of any sort, but it's a common saying, and it actually encompasses the idea that if you were to walk into the room with competing claims and simply, I say I own the shirt, another guy says he owns the shirt, but I'm the one wearing it, you tend to think, for this guy to be wearing this shirt, it would seem to mitigate in his favor, but it's possible that the shirt was out in the other room. It was his. I grabbed it and put it on. So obviously possession is not the end of it. And in fact, it's just one of many ways we can look at it. So I claim it. He claims it. Competing claims. Okay. Here's the thing. As you're about ready to make your ruling, but before the gavels come down, he says, hey, hang on a second. I've got a receipt that proves it's my shirt. And he pulls out of his pocket a piece of paper and he hands it to you, the judge. And he says, there it is. That's a receipt from the company that's licensed to sell Shepard Fairey licensed Obey t-shirts, and this proves I own that shirt. And you look at the receipt, and it describes this shirt. It's the color. It's the size. Bam! It's his shirt, right? Until I pull up my receipt and go, no. I bought it. I got a receipt when I bought it. Shirt, size, color, boom. I have the exact same thing. Now, here's the problem. They've got a receipt. I've got a receipt. The only difference really is that I'm wearing the shirt. So the question is, now who owns it? Okay, muddied waters, but there's still a possibility we can unravel this thing. Because this is a hypothetical series of facts, though, I can make stuff up. Suppose he now says, when I got the shirt, I wrote my name on the inside of the collar with a magic marker. My name is not Steve Leto. My name is Bob Johnson. And you, the judge, say, Mr. Leto, could you please show me the collar of the shirt? And I pull the collar back and I show you, and it says Bob Johnson on it. You might ask, Steve, Why did you write Bob Johnson on the inside collar of your shirt? I don't know. I was bored. Wanted to mess with a guy named Bob who lost his shirt. I don't know. But how about this? Let's say that he has witnesses that say that, you know, he wrote the name inside the shirt, put the shirt someplace where I had access to it. Now I'm wearing it. Okay. That would make a pretty strong argument, right? But what if I said, oh, by the way, somehow I anticipated Bob was going to show up today and freak out when he realized I bought the same shirt he did. So I've got witnesses here who'll tell you that I actually took the shirt this morning with a magic marker and wrote Bob Johnson on the inside of the collar, because I know he does that. And in fact, I can prove that. I have videotape of myself doing that. I wrote Bob Johnson inside of my collar just to mess with Bob because I thought it'd be a funny joke. Now whose shirt is it? Okay. So there's a lot of different ways we can try to determine who owns something. Okay. But if you back the facts up to the very beginning of the story, and I go onto the internet and I do a search for Shepherd Fairey shirts and I find the Obey Giant website, and I then go in and I find the shirt that's my size and my color and I like the design, and I order it and I pay for it and they send it to me. Once I have it in my possession, it's mine. I own this shirt. I own this shirt. All of the stuff with Bob is simply a proof problem. That is, how do you prove you own it? But in my heart of hearts, I knew I owned this shirt. And Obey Giant, when they sent it to me, anticipated that I'd own this shirt. I own this shirt. The shirt is mine. If I want to, I can wear it. If I want to, I can lend it to Bob. But he doesn't own it if I lend it to him. I can lend it to my other friends. If I had a cat, I could have my cat wear it. But it's still my shirt. It's my shirt to do with as I wish. If I want to, I can take this shirt out, wash and wax my car with it, and throw it away. If I had a fireplace, I could throw it in the fireplace and burn it. These are all things I can do with my shirt. So here's the question. Who owns your car? Who owns your car? Well, if you pay cash for a car, you pay the full price for the car in cash, and the person you're buying from owns the car before you bought it, and they're selling it to you, and they, you know, hand you the keys and the title in exchange for the money, and if you want to do a bill of sale, you can. But the point is that once that transaction takes place and they intended to, you know, give me the title and I intended to pay them, once I've got that stuff in my hands, the car is mine. And in fact, I don't even have to get that title registered with the state at that moment in time to prove I own it, because I own it the second I take possession of it and I've done everything necessary to pay you what you're entitled to for it. So presumably, if I am taking the vehicle back to my house, let's say I'm flatbedding it back to my house legally, and it's in the back of a flatbed truck and someone comes by and steals it, okay? The guy I bought it from can't file a claim for a stolen vehicle because it wasn't stolen from him. I would file the claim because it's stolen from me. But you say, wait, Steve, but it wasn't titled in your name yet. The title is simply evidence of ownership. And what the states have done going way back is they realized that automobiles have a couple interesting quirks, one of which is they are self-ambulatory. They can move themselves around. I understand I'm talking about walking, but I'm joking. They can move themselves around. They have great value. And especially in the old days, they were fairly easy to steal. Now, I understand it's getting a little harder these days, but cars can still be stolen. So if you got a situation in a country with a bunch of states and thousands and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and millions of these things that are movable, valuable, and easy to steal, maybe it would help things if we created a central registry in each state where people could register their vehicles so that, among other things, if the car ever got stolen or lost or whatever, someone could contact the state and say, hey, this is my vehicle. It got stolen. And if the car ever pops up again, they can go, oh, by the way, we can reunite this vehicle with its proper owner. But the point is that when you go to your state and you go to your Secretary of State's office or DMV and you fill out this information and you ask them to title the car in your name, they issue you a certificate of title. And I have a lot of people who say, Steve, catch that. Certificate of title. It's not a title. It's a certificate of title. Yeah, because the problem is that the document they're giving you is not the title. The title to something is the legal concept that you own it. And a piece of paper is not necessary to prove you own it. The piece of paper simply helps you prove you own it. As I pointed out, the vehicle is being flatbedded to my house, but not yet titled in my name. I own it. So when the car gets stolen and the police officer says, hey, you know, I'm filling out the stolen report here, show me the title. I'd say, unfortunately, I didn't have a chance to get the certificate of title issued yet, but I obviously own it because I bought it from the previous owner who wanted me to have it in exchange for the money I gave him or her. So I own that vehicle, even though the certificate of title had not been issued yet. So the certificate of title is simply a document that's given to me by the state saying, yes, we have on record here that you own this car. And that document is not the be-all and end-all of the ownership of that car. So for instance, let's suppose that you broke into my house and you found the certificate of title to my truck. If you took that certificate of title out and scratched out my name and wrote in yours, you could say, hey, look, certificate of title shows me as the owner. And anybody would say, of course, that's not correct. Okay, it's an altered or forged certificate of title. And the point is that unless I give you the vehicle or I sell you the vehicle or some other legal process wherein I transfer title to you, I own that vehicle. So it's kind of a strange thought to me that people think, well, you submit paperwork to Lansing, they send you paperwork back, and even though the certificate of title says owner on it, the state owns your vehicle. That's absurd. Many of these arguments are made by the same people who say, yeah, but the birth certificate proves the state also owns you, which is one of the dumbest arguments I've ever heard. But the point is that the state doesn't even claim they own your vehicle. And if they actually owned your vehicle, for instance, you couldn't go out and take out a title loan against your vehicle. In fact, you couldn't sell your vehicle if the state owned your vehicle. If the state owned your vehicle, what right do you have to sell it? And if the state owns your vehicle, and in many states there's what's called owner liability, why do I need to put insurance on the state's car? If it's their car, shouldn't they insure it? So the idea that you don't own your vehicle because there's a registration someplace that says that you've been registered, it borders on absurdity. But I hear it so often, I think it's important to point out. So one of the other things I have to say is that if the state owned your car, when the police pull you over to the side of the road, they wouldn't need your permission to search your car. It's not your car. It's owned by the state. They could just kick you out and search it. And in fact, if they wanted to, they could kick you out, search it, and lock you out of it because it's not your car. I know that some of this sounds so absurd. You're saying, Steve, I can't believe you're doing a video on this. But I think it's extremely important for a couple other reasons. People mistake regulation for ownership, okay? So I own a vehicle, I drive the vehicle, and if I take it on the roads, I've got to follow traffic laws. And if I want to drive it legally on the roads, I have to register it with the state and get a license plate for it and then buy the insurance that's required and then drive it with insurance, proper registration, and I've got to be a licensed driver behind the wheel. And so those are all forms of regulation that the state imposes on me and says, if you want to drive a vehicle in this state, you've got to do these things. But that doesn't mean they own the vehicle. They've merely regulated the vehicle. And that's one of those things I think that some people will understand very quickly. Others will have a hard time wrapping their heads around it. But the government regulates a lot of stuff. That shouldn't be news to you. The government regulates seemingly everything. And so the fact that they regulate the heck out of your car, or they regulate the heck out of pharmaceuticals, or they regulate the heck out of firearms, there's all kinds of things that they regulate quite a bit. And they might almost regulate you right out of business, depending what business you're in. But the state's not taking ownership of this stuff. They're simply regulating it. Now, I know what you're saying. You're saying, Steve, you could regulate something to the point where I can't use it anymore. Or you can regulate it to the point where it's no fun anymore. And that's true. And some of those regulations almost rise to the level of them taking ownership of it. And I give you an example. I know an attorney who told me the story about how a client of hers bought a piece of property with the intention of building on it. And once they bought the piece of property and they're going through the process, they filed some paperwork somewhere indicating their intent to build on this property. And someone came forward and said, you can't build on that property because it's a wetland. And in Michigan, you can't just fill a wetland and build something without proper permits. And somebody in Lansing said, and by the way, we're not going to grant you a permit to fill that wetland because that wetland is actually important for this area's ecosystem. And I won't get into that. But the point simply is they said, you can own the land, but you can't do certain things with it because it's been regulated. And my friend called me and said, is this fair? I said, I don't know if it's fair or not. I suspect the previous owner sold it to your guy, realizing that he couldn't build on it. So he sold it to your guy, and your guy can't build on it either. You know, it'd be interesting to find out if that person had knowledge or not. But the point is, there were apparently some ways that a person could use this property, but just not the way they wanted to because of the way it was regulated. And so that's true with a lot of regulations. There's a lot of regulations. They take the fun out of stuff. They limit what you can do with your stuff, or they limit what you can do on your own property. But the point simply is, those are regulations. And even if they regulate it to the nth degree, they haven't regulated it out of your ownership. You still own it. So when someone comes to you and says, ha, you're a fool, you titled your vehicle, now the state owns it. No, they don't. No, they don't. You own it, okay? The state might regulate it, but you still own it. So that's how ownership works, and yes, this is my shirt. Questions or comments? Below. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.